Good morning, New Hope Community Church, and welcome to my backyard. Here, sometimes we get to see some of the coolest sunsets that will just hit right behind the trees, and just a great reminder what amazing God that we serve. I want to share a little story with you as I begin. 2 days ago, on January 8th, 65 years prior to that, there was several missionaries who went down to Ecuador to share Jesus. They knew Jesus personally, and they wanted other people to know about Jesus. And these five missionaries went and wanted to reach out to some nationals who have yet to experience the love of God or even hear about it. And as they went out, they weren't greeted in a way that was very accepting or welcoming. They were actually all killed for wanting to share Jesus with others. And some of you might remember some of these men. Probably one of the most well-known one is Jim Elliot, but also the four men who they loved Jesus and they wanted to share Jesus with everyone they could. And Jim and his wife Elizabeth Elliott are missionaries that are pretty dear to my heart. I remember as a young kid in fifth grade, I was homeschooled, but in fifth grade I went to a part-time private Christian school, and we had the opportunity to do a biography on any missionary we wanted. So I found Jim Elliott and I just started reading more and more about Jim Elliott. And the more I read about him, I just really, really admired his love for the Lord. And so this is kind of a funny story, but I remember all the pictures I saw of Jim Elliott. He would wear a white t-shirt, and then he would wear some khaki pants. And so I thought I would wear that when I did my biography presentation. And so I went to the school, and I was waiting to get ready to go into class. And I remember the principal pulled me aside, and I really was like kind of trying to be a rule-abiding student the best I could. I wasn't quite rebellious as far as trying to break rules, but here I was in the principal's office like 15 minutes before school started. I was pulled aside because I was breaking dress protocol. I didn't have a polo on. I came in a white t-shirt. I remember my mind as a fifth grader. I'm like, I'm just dressing like the missionary I see on this picture who gave his life for Jesus. And then thankfully, my teacher, Mrs. Abbott, was very generous. She went home, drove 10 minutes home before class started, came back with a nice dark green polo, one of her own polos for me that had a big Winnie the Pooh on the side. And I remember I got a lot of encouraging feedback in some ways from other students about my new clothes. But I remember studying Jim Elliott's life and remember how he gave his life for Jesus and wanting to serve, as well as the other four men. And we remember that over 65 years ago on January 8th. He wanted to know Jesus and make Jesus known to everyone that he possibly could. And today we're starting a new series called Knowing Jesus. This idea of getting to know Jesus, not just in an informational kind of way, but in a personal way. And it's going to be in the book of Philippians. So we're going to be in the book of Philippians for about the next 2.5 months. And we'll be studying a little bit more about how God was using Paul to write to the church of Philippi some encouragements that we can still receive today through his Holy Spirit. And so I want to look at some of the key verses just briefly before we get into our main passage this morning. So this is Philippians 3. This is kind of the series theme. I want to talk about that for a moment. In Philippians 3, verse 8, and this is the NASB, the NASB version, Paul writes this. He says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." So everything's a loss compared to knowing Jesus. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." So Paul's stressing this idea of knowing Jesus in a very personal and intimate way. And once again, I just want to make the conscious that we can have knowledge of someone or something without the intimacy of knowing that person in a real relational way. And that word that's used to know Christ that Paul's saying in the second part of that passage, it does refer to having this idea of knowing more about Jesus, but it also has this power-packed intimacy component that even for in the New Testament, this idea that knowing someone very intimately almost could be said of like a husband knowing their wife or a wife knowing their husband in physical intimacy. In the Old Testament, the idea of to know is often used when talked about physical intimacy, the Hebrew word yada, which is used over like 500 times, and oftentimes is used in the context of someone knowing God or God knowing them, a real intimacy. So not more than just a knowledge of, but really intimacy with. So when we're talking about knowing Jesus in this series, that's what we're talking about, knowing Jesus in a personal way, more than just facts or figures or verses and chapters, but knowing Jesus personally. Because when we know Jesus personally, it changes everything, right? Changes everything. Like in the New Testament, when we talked about the early disciples, and people could just look at them and be like, these are just ordinary people. There's nothing extraordinary about them, right? Ordinary people. But something that was different is that they could see that they have been with Jesus. There's something when you've been with Jesus, when you know Jesus in an intimate way, that even those who know about Jesus or don't can see a radical difference in the way that we live, the way that we talk, what we say, don't say, the things we do or don't do. And we want to look at that a little bit more in this series. Some of the big theme pieces in this book as Paul's writing is as believers are knowing Jesus, that they will resemble and reflect through the Holy Spirit humility, which we need more of that today, right? We just go on social media, look at the news. We need more humility. In the church, we're supposed to be the example to the world of what true humility looks like. Humility. So knowing Jesus, one of the byproducts of knowing Jesus intimately is humility. Another one of the byproducts of knowing Jesus intimately is that we would be united, not scattered around in different thoughts and ideas in the sense of what is Jesus all about, but united in Christ. That Christ is the greatest unifying piece, and we so desperately need that today. Amen, right? If I'd ask anybody if they were around, maybe the birds or the squirrels, I hope they would say amen with me. You're at home, I hope you say amen. We need that unity in Jesus. Elevate Christ higher than anything or anyone else. And lastly, a theme you'll see in the book of Philippians, we'll see, is this idea of knowing Jesus comes with, and boy, do we need this today, joy. Paul encourages the church at Philippi, and the Christians at Philippi, to rejoice or have joy in the Lord 16 times throughout this letter. Joy is a huge theme going on, but that's just a byproduct of knowing Jesus. And so really excited for this new series. We'll be in Philippians. If you're looking for a place to study and you're like, I'm looking for a new book to dive into, feel free to go through Philippians nice and slow on your own. Ask the Lord how you can apply it each day. Maybe journal, write some verses down. It's going to be a great couple of weeks together as we start this new series of knowing Jesus. So at this time, I'm actually going to jump inside because we're going to start reading today's passage on Philippians chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, feel free to grab it. If you want to turn it on and follow along, it'll be Philippians chapter 1. And it'll be a great way also for me to warm up because, as you might guess, you're like, Jim, aren't you pretty cold out there? And yeah, my fingers are getting a little chilly. So let's meet together. I'm going to go on my couch and we're going to read a little bit more of Philippians 1 and see what the Lord wants to say to us today. All right, now we're warming up.
Hey, you want something warm?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Thanks. Well, it's good to be back inside with everyone. It's good to be with you, Crystal.
Yeah.
So we're going to be tag-teaming part of this message today. Actually, the remainder part of the message. We're really excited about that. So just sharing a little bit of our introduction. And so we're going to be diving into our message for today, which is knowing Jesus' unending love. And we're going to see that right at the beginning of Philippians chapter 1. So if you have a Bible with you, feel free to look along or turn it on, and I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing. Let's just take this in as we're going through, right? For I am confident of this very thing. This is going to be an encouragement. That he, God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's just pause for a little bit of encouragement. So what God is doing in the church of Philippi and through his Holy Spirit today, what he started, he'll finish. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's so cool. So even if you're like, man, rough year, a rough start to the new year, right?
Yeah.
God, who started working in you, he's faithful to accomplish it. Even when we falter, he remains faithful. Let's continue in verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of the grace with me. We'll pause there for a second. So Paul's writing this, and most scholars see him writing from prison in Rome. And he's writing letters of encouragement to churches all over the place. And he's writing one to the Christians at Philippi, which is pretty awesome. I mean, to be in prison, I feel like you'd be discouraged, probably. Right?
Most likely.
Paul's in prison, and because he knows Jesus in an intimate way, circumstances can't take that away from him. Being in prison can't take that away from him. And he's knowing Jesus in a personal way. And the Holy Spirit's guiding him to write letters of encouragement and thank you to other churches to encourage them. So when you think and you're reading this, especially as it's like a joy-filled book, you might be thinking, well, Paul probably has it real cozy somewhere. That's why he's just like, you know, having tea and coffee and sending out encouraging letters or emails if it was modern day. But he's actually in a very difficult, not an easy situation being in prison. But through the Holy Spirit, he's able to bring encouragement. And so as he's giving encouragement primarily to thank those who have given him a gift because he's in prison. And we'll continue reading and see a little bit more about what Paul was like to share as an opening prayer. It says in verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray," and here's his prayer as he begins this letter, "that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." So he has his opening prayer, he's praying for this the Christians at Philippi, that their love would abound. And this love, if you look in the Greek, is agape, which is that unconditional love that God gives. So that kind of love would just abound more and more. And not just like a superficial kind of understanding. Get some deep, deep understanding going on there. Real knowledge and an all discernment. "So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So Paul's writing a letter, essentially to modernize this. It'd be like one of our missionaries from New Hope Community Church going over to maybe another place like Indonesia or India or China or Haiti or other places and sending back a report being like, we're in a really difficult spot right now, specifically in this case it's prison, but a difficult spot. And we heard that you heard we're in a difficult spot, and New Hope, you gave us a gift, and we just want to send back a ministry report letting you know, hey, thank you for that gift. That was really, really encouraging. But not only that, Paul's also going to write some encouragements, as we'll see throughout, and I mentioned it earlier, on the importance of humility like Jesus, having unity in Jesus, and also the byproduct of just knowing Jesus is having a joy-filled life, regardless of circumstances. And so for a moment, I want to talk about knowing Christ's unending love. This idea that Paul is encouraging the Christians not just to settle for like, oh, I know a little bit about God's love, and so I'm going to settle or stop growing and just kind of plateau there. And have you ever done that in your walk with the Lord? I know I have, where I just kind of like plateau. It's like, yeah, I know Jesus, and I really love him. But if Jesus is infinite, because, you know, fully God, fully man, that means we can spend all of eternity getting to know a little bit more about God's love. Isn't that amazing? All of eternity. And so as you're watching this today and seeing this, where are you at with your relationship with Jesus, with knowing Jesus? If you know Jesus, are you in a place of growing and abounding in knowledge and discernment and Christ's love more and more? If so, keep on keeping on. That's exactly where we should be. If you're in a place where you're feeling like, man, I feel kind of plateaued. I don't really feel like I'm growing. I don't really feel like I'm going backwards, but I'm just like maybe feeling a little apathetic. And who knows, after 2020 and then the whiplash kind of start of a new year in 2021, you might just feel kind of out of sorts. Let us use circumstances that are challenging not to propel us away from Jesus, but to push us closer into the presence of God. Difficulties are actually something that can be harnessed, such as believers, to be used as a catalyst for growth. In James 1, it says, "Consider it pure joy when you face various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith will produce something." And if we look at difficulties we're in, different situations, and obviously the natural response is probably like, freak out, God, what's going on, right? And God's real, he knows we're gonna be like that because we're humans, we're not perfect. But they'll also ask God, Lord, what are you doing here? How are you using this to possibly form me to look more like Jesus? Might it be that, boy, there's a lot going on right now, and these anxieties, these worries, these concerns, might they be little prayer catalyst points throughout my day? So maybe as I'm thinking through the day, I'm like, what's going on? I feel a little worried about this. You know, Lord, I'm going to go to prayer. I want to know your love in a special way in that area. Or maybe you're reading the news and you see a lot of trigger points. Go on social media, watch out. A lot of trigger points. Be quick to go to prayer, right? Lord, I want to press in to know you more. I want to have a conversation. I want to have an intimate relationship of knowing Jesus. Not just knowing about Jesus or knowing about someone else's relationship with Jesus, right? Because sometimes you can see people that they got the love of the Lord and they're just overflowing the joy of the Holy Spirit and the peace that surpasses all understanding and hope that abounds and it can never disappoint. And you can know it and you can see it and you can recite it. But that's someone else's experience with Jesus, right? Jesus wants to have that intimate relationship with you and me, with us together. And so I would just ask you, if you're in that place, you're just kind of like, am I plateaued? Might this be an invitation to say, Lord, may I refocus on your love and a deeper level, not maybe just kind of like I have an idea about discernment and understanding. And for those who are watching this, maybe you're just like, hey, I'm checking out this live stream or this recording because someone passed it along. I don't consider myself a believer, but I'm definitely interested in learning more. The starting point of all Christianity, it's based and fueled and really the ending point, it's all on Jesus. So glad that you're here on our online church online service and hoping that you might be open to learning a little bit more about Jesus in a personal way as we're going through this series. So Paul's encouraging Christians as we're starting this new series to know Christ's unending love. Human loves, it comes and goes, right? Sometimes we're consistent, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we have conditional love, sometimes we have what looks maybe like unconditional, but can still falter. Jesus has unconditional love for you and for me and for us. That's something to embrace today, and that's definitely something to share. Now, the Christians that Paul's writing to were facing persecution. So it's not like have joy because everything's cozy over in Philippi as well. They're hitting persecution and tribulation and difficulty. And when you're in that place, perseverance, the idea of pushing in and following after Christ, can start to maybe wane a little bit, or we can start to falter a little bit, especially if we don't spend time with Jesus. So you see Paul encouraging the Philippians to keep pushing into Jesus. He's not saying that all your circumstances are going to necessarily be gone or alleviated. Not saying it's wrong to pray about those circumstances, but his main prayer is actually that they would know Jesus more. What would that look like for us today in 2021, as we're starting the new year? Oftentimes we can spend a lot of time, myself included, praying about circumstances, but what if we're praying that, God, I want to know you more personally than any of my circumstances changing? God, I pray that my heart would change to look more like Jesus and look and experience the love that you so freely give. And so last summer, I had a really cool opportunity. I actually got an opportunity to read a poem that talked about this idea of persevering through difficulty. What maybe at a quick glance would be like, well, I just want things to be easy in life, but that's often not the places that we grow. It's actually in the places that are difficult and challenging we can learn to persevere. And my wife Crystal wrote this really cool poem, it's The Perseverance of a Weed, that was really, I found very encouraging. I read it on church online, but I asked Crystal, would you mind sharing that today, especially as we're starting 2021, and it can feel like, man, I thought once we got away from 2020, all our problems would go away. I mean, obviously it's not that simplistic, right? But the idea of perseverance like a weed, what can we learn and be encouraged of that even when things are difficult, it's not that God has forgotten us, but God could be using those difficult things to actually conform us more to the image of his son, to look more like Jesus. So Crystal, you want to share that poem with us today?
Sure.
And I think Abigail wants to come and share it with us too.
She wanted to be here too.
Oh yeah, what a cutie. She's been getting really chubby, so if you haven't followed her on Facebook, yeah, she's going a little bit of the chubby. Hey, she's waving. I'll take her, and then maybe if you want to share that poem with us on Church Online today, I think that'd be a huge, huge blessing.
Yeah, I would love to. This is a poem I wrote actually last summer when I was gardening. So I'll read it to you. It's called, Lord, Grant Me the Perseverance of a Weed. Lord, grant me the perseverance of a weed. For a weed can grow with no water. A weed can survive with no care. A weed can thrive in bleak environments. A weed can live even in the shadows where the sun cannot be seen. The weed persists, the weed overcomes, even when it's trampled on. The weed lasts, whether it stands alone or is surrounded. Although the weed is constantly attacked, it usually isn't defeated. Although the weed is despised by most, it remains. Although the weed is cut down, it not only endures, it spreads, it grows. The weed is almost untamable, almost invincible, at least in my garden. Even if it's defeated for a season, it comes back again. Not weakened, but stronger than before. Although I frown at the sight of a weed, I have come to admire it. Lord, grant me the perseverance of a weed. Let me grow, void of possessing what the world deems necessary. Allow me to survive, even when I feel abandoned, hurt, or unloved by others. Let me thrive in situations where most fail. Give me life, even in the dark valley where I can't see you. Give me the ability to persist, the strength to overcome, even when I'm crushed, even when I'm wounded. Let me last, whether I'm lonely and misunderstood, or have the admiration of many. Although I face attack, save me from defeat. When I'm despised, you remain. When I feel broken beyond repair, revive me and triple the fruit of my labor. Make me a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Where I am weak or blinded, instruct me. Take away what is not of you. Grant me abundance, health, and growth, like a plant pruned by its master. Lord, I thought I wanted to be like a flower, admired by many, accepted and adored. I thought I wanted to be like a flower, cared for, coddled, overly protected. I thought I wanted to be a flower. But I realized while flowers are beautiful, their beauty fades quickly. The bloom does not last. When flowers are not given constant attention and provision, they dwindle. Flowers are easily overwhelmed by weeds and vulnerable to any environment apart from perfection. Flowers are fragile, and some only remain for a short season and never return. Lord, I thought I wanted to be a flower, but instead I asked today to be a weed. Although my flesh longs for the attention and acceptance of a rose, my spirit longs for the insistence and unyielding growth of the dandelion. I ask to be strong, resilient, and not easily overcome. I don't want to thrive only in perfect circumstances. I want to survive in the midst of impossibility because you are my strength. Lord, grant me, Lord, grant us the perseverance of a weed.
That's great. Thank you so much, Crystal, for sharing that. What a great reminder. I just love that because we're in that season of perseverance. We need perseverance, and our place of source of perseverance, a source of strength, is in knowing Jesus. It's as simple as that, yet it can be that simple to miss, right? It's like I need to go somewhere else, find something else, read something else, know something else about something else. Where it's really, I just need to spend time with someone, and that person's name is Jesus. And so just to know Jesus in the core, to know his love, and let that be the overflow for how we can persevere. And our prayer, I think, at the church at Philippi, too, is that we would shine brightly. We'll see that later in the book of Philippians, but that New Hope Community Church would shine brightly like a star in the universe of the galaxy, that when those are in a place of lacking joy, we can see the overflowing joy of knowing Jesus. So those who are lacking peace can see the peace that surpasses all understanding overflowing in our lives. So those who are lacking hope, there's so many people lacking hope right now. Our name of our church is New Hope. That's not just a nice name. That's actually a reality that needs to be shared. Just like Jim and Elizabeth Elliott going down to Ecuador and realizing that we got to share the hope of Jesus with people, that they knew Jesus in a personal way
And at the age of 28, Jim was 28, and then Elizabeth was 29 going down to Ecuador. That's not super old. I mean, that's younger than Crystal and I now. That makes me feel really old. But yeah, the 28, 29-year-old going down, and a 28-year-old dad who gets martyred leaves then his wife and his 10-month-old daughter, Valerie, all alone because they want to get this message out. You know what's so cool? Like, a lot of times there's a lot of focus on Jim Elliot, but Elizabeth Elliot, it's amazing. She went back 3 months later with her daughter, Valerie, to the same people that killed her husband, and she went back and started teaching about Jesus Christ. Hmm. And the whole tribe came to know Jesus Christ and had a vibrant, vibrant ministry, just caring and loving. It's just amazing what can happen when men and women who know Jesus, not in an informational way, but personally, and would give everything else in this world away. Just like Paul says, I would consider everything rubbish, trash, compared to knowing Jesus. I would even give my very life for knowing Jesus and making him know. I would align with Jesus' suffering so that he might be glorified. That's what it looks like with knowing Jesus. So as we start this new series, we want to start about looking to know Jesus. And as we're going to wrap up, and we're going to pray in a moment, we wanted to finish up with a song that's going to kind of be like a theme song that we'll be using at different points throughout this series. It's called Knowing You, Jesus. But there's a quote I love by Jim Elliot. It says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." So he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Let's let go of the things that we can't bring with us to eternity, and let's hold on to the things. Let's hold on to Jesus together. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for loving us. Thank you so much, God, for dying for us. God, thank you for having unconditional, unending, never giving up love for us, God. It is truly amazing. And Lord, as we're in a place of starting a new year, and for a lot of people, boy, what a challenging year last year was and the start of this new year. But God, I pray that we would bask as children in your love, that we could slow down. We could slow down the news feeds, the social media, the constant going, and just be still and know that you are God. Heavenly Father, come and have your way. Lord, may we know you in an intimate way, like Paul knew you, or Jim knew you, or Elizabeth knew you, or Valerie knows you still today, Lord. God, may we know you in a way that would just glorify you, that more would come to know you, Father. We ask this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.